We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Senator, you're taking a look at running next year against a Democratic Attorney General Peter Kilmartin. How would you assess the job that Kilmartin has done as Attorney General?
Well, I would say, Ian, we haven't seen much.
Why don't you elaborate on that?
Well, looking at the 38 studios, for example, largest public destruction of resources that in my recent memory, setting aside the banking crisis, silence from the Attorney General's office.
What should the Attorney General's office be doing on 38 studios, in your view?
At the very least, be taking a position on accountability, describing what the state's position is in our looking at the bond payment. There was no weighing in on that, participating in some respect in the civil litigation that's been brought on our behalf. That job shouldn't be outsourced, in my opinion.
To follow up briefly on 38 studios, you've attended, I think, all of the meetings of the House Oversight Committee where it's been looking at 38 studios. What is your impression of this process? Does it have integrity in your view?
I certainly believe the chairman and members of the committee have integrity, and they are going about their job in the most diligent manner that they're allowed. I think the scope of that inquiry has been too limited. It has fallen squarely within the discussion that's been put forward by the House leadership that this was a failure of the Economic Development Corporation. I've always said that the EDC and the governor deserve every bit of criticism that's thrown their way, but the fact is that this certainly could not have happened without the legislative leadership and participation.
Here's what I don't get. And you're a lawyer. What's wrong with Governor Chafee's position here of outsourcing to a specialist in this kind of litigation, Max Wistow, this kind of a suit? I mean, does the Attorney General's office really have on their staff someone with a very narrow but deep expertise that Mr. Wistow has in this area and would have as likely a chance of getting recovery of millions of dollars for Rhode Island taxpayers?
The Attorney General's office is the largest law firm in the state, and it's staffed with talented members of both the civil and criminal divisions. Each of them, I think, should have been brought to bear to inquire how we got into this circumstance. Now, in certain cases, using outside law firms is in the best interest of the state and has led to big recoveries.
I mean, look at Attorney General Whitehouse when he was there with the lead paint case. He outsourced that.
He did. However, in this circumstance, we are looking at a destruction of public resources on the scale of the banking crisis. In that particular instance, the state taxpayers were on the hook for about $150 million in 91. Here, we're on the hook for over $100 million. And if you look at the response of Rhode Island's leaders to that crisis and the response of Rhode Island's leaders to this crisis, the one thing that's going to be missing is answers. The lawsuit is directed at financial recovery.
Yes.
And certainly that's very important, but almost as important is giving the people a full and fair accounting of what happened. Now, that should be provided by a legislative oversight function. It has not. But the Attorney General can certainly weigh in. My biggest concern, Scott, is that the contingency lawsuit that's been brought is going to lead to some type of partial recovery of the funds that the state is losing and be tied up with a nice nondisclosure agreement. It's a matter of accountability. And, perhaps I would take office in an environment where we had passed statutes of limitations that there would no longer be the tools to make that investigation. But were I the AG in early 2011, it would have or early after the failure of this, it certainly would have been a priority for me.
The 5-member Republican caucus in the Senate, of which you are a part, got some national attention earlier this year when all of you backed the same-sex marriage legislation. But usually Republicans in the General Assembly are pretty marginalized. What do you think Republicans need to do to have a broader presence in the General Assembly?
Republicans need to articulate a vision of leadership. The opportunity, in my view, is ripe for the taking. And I think my success as a state legislator and a 2-time candidate for office can set a blueprint for successful candidates.
Don't you have to elect more Republicans to really? I mean, isn't that the fundamental problem? You just don't have the numbers?
More Republicans, sure, Scott, but I'm not simply partisan. Better people, willing to be more engaged, and frankly, people that are willing to stand up.
Well, speaking of partisan elections, we have a very hard-fought gubernatorial race coming up next year. Are you backing the expected Republican gubernatorial candidate, Alan Fung, and if so, why?
I am supporting Alan Fung. He has been an active Republican leader in Cranston, who I think has done a good job in that city. All municipal executives are facing a very challenging environment in recent years. And I think Allen has measured up well. He has been willing to support Republican candidates across the state. And like me, he is a centrist. He is a pragmatic problem solver. And hey, nobody's perfect, but I think Allen Fung both has the leadership skills, experience, and a path to victory to be our next governor.
We're talking here with State Senator Dawson Hodgson, and now back to Scott.
You know, it seems like we've got a real problem in this state. It was highlighted recently on people with serious mental health problems getting guns. We saw that the Newport Police Department did the right thing with this Navy shooter who had a disturbance in a hotel room, thought people were speaking to him through the walls, microwave, whatever it was, and he ended up killing 12 people. It looks like our laws, are they too loose? Do we not have sufficient safeguards in there? So if the law enforcement authorities bring in someone like this fella, they can detain him and get a psychiatric evaluation?
When you're talking about detaining somebody for a psychiatric evaluation, obviously you implicate some pretty substantial civil liberties concerns.
I understand.
That's something I'm really not prepared to speak off the cuff about. But I would say that I've long been focused on the intersection of mental health and gun laws. Part of my style as a legislator has never been to capitalize on high-profile events in the news. And after Aurora, Colorado, I was very troubled that Rhode Island is amongst the nation's worst in providing mental health records of civil commitment to the background check system. It's a topic that I wanted to take up, and I spoke with, frankly, quite liberal lawmakers in the House about doing so. Right as we were about to start talking about it, we had the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And, you know, I'm never one for piling on, and I really predicted that we would see a legislative reaction where we had a lot of proposals and no real results come forward. And I think that policies like this are long-term, that need to be thought out dispassionately and to achieve that goal, because this wasn't a question for the Navy Yard shooter of the type of weaponry available to him. He was a mentally ill, dangerous person, and we do need to find a way to make sure that he's kept from getting weapons.
Mediation is continuing over the union lawsuit in response to the 2011 overhaul of the state pension plan. This could be kicked back to the General Assembly, which would have to make any decisions on how to revise this. If you're still in the General Assembly at that time, what criteria will you use in determining what you think is acceptable for revising the pension overhaul?
The bottom line is we need to secure the retirement of our state employees. They have devoted their working life to our public good. They've provided us a service, unlike 38 Studios. So when we look at any revisions of the pension system, bottom line is we need to make sure that the system is going to be solvent and in place for a long period of time. I firmly believe that's what we did by passing the Retirement Security Act. I am very troubled by the course that this litigation has taken. Referring a constitutional question for mediation is simply not appropriate in my view. I think it was the job of the court to say the legislature either took a constitutional action or did not. It's not a venue to renegotiate. This is public policy. We took painful, difficult steps, showed leadership for the first time in decades, and I think it's in danger of being undermined by politics. And the statehouse is the place for politics, not the courts.
You know, you've been a pretty vocal critic of the Deepwater wind turbine plan. I'm wondering, and Governor Chafee, I know, going back to Governor Joe Garrahy, actually in this state, it seems to be smarter to buy Canadian hydropower from Hydro-Quebec. It's cheaper, it's planet-friendly, and it's renewable power. Why aren't we pursuing that instead of something like Deepwater?
That's a good question, Scott. I agree with you. I think the consensus in academia when you talk about renewable energy and energy consumption is conservation is really the answer. Efficiency is really, in the short and medium term, going to be the solution for us. And for me, looking simply at the Block Island test project, at a cost of about $400 million to Rhode Island ratepayers. Not that we have the money for it now, but couldn't we put $400 million into insulating the homes of low-income individuals and help them? Hydropower is not perfect. It has its downsides, but I agree with you. As an option for us right now, I would prefer it.
Just real quickly, if you were elected Attorney General, what improvements would you support to the state's Access to Public Records and Open Meetings Acts?
I'm not a specialist in the Open Meetings Act or APRA. However, I think it's important then when you investigate and determine there's a violation that there are sanctions. I think of the last high 30s, 40 or so cases that only three or four have been referred for any type of sanction. It's got to have some teeth. To me, it's just emblematic of my approach as an attorney general would, would be effective enforcement of existing laws. Wage violations are another area. As a member of the Senate Labor Committee, I see proposals every year to toughen the laws on that. But then I ask them, has this been prosecuted and fully enforced by existing executive authority? And the answer is usually no.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. State Senator Dawson Hodgson, Republican of North Kingstown, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.